The one time I played football in middle school, we had water breaks, you know. I feel like this is my coffee break before we get down to the scripture. I don't know which are more important in my life now, water breaks or coffee breaks, but here we are. Before we read this scripture, I would like to invite you to remember some of the stories of Jesus' last days. In particular, one of his disciples, Simon Peter, at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." And they all ask, "Is it me? Is it me?" And Jesus says, "No." And eventually Simon Peter gets to this point where he declares that he will never leave Jesus' side. And Jesus says, "No, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times." Peter says, "No, no, never, it's not going to happen." After Jesus is arrested, Peter denies Jesus three times. And he's reminded when the cock crows of what he has promised and failed to deliver on. And so now we read this story of after Jesus' resurrection. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it is the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter answered to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a lot of details in that story. Details that don't necessarily seem like they're all that important. Which is one of the reasons that I know that John actually was a fisherman when he's telling this story. Because there's all these details that really don't necessarily need to be in there. But because of who John is, he likes to tell them. I like to fish. If you ask me stories, I can tell you a story. I've got this great story of my brother and I fishing, and an owl showed up. and actually stole my brother's fish. And it was still hooked. So when the fish gets stolen by the owl, there's a hook in its mouth, and the owl flies off, the line gets taut, the reel falls over the side of the boat, the owl drops the fish, my brother lost more than just his fish, it was his whole rod and reel, and I watched this all in slow motion, this huge bird of prey coming over my brother's shoulder, like to attack him. I was just like, oh, bam! It was the greatest thing ever. When we fish, we like to give these details. But I wonder which of them are the most important details. It's important to remember Peter's previous stories of denying Jesus. That is an integral detail in understanding what Jesus is asking and understanding why we get this odd tale of catching all these fish in the way that we do. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. You're one of, you know, we can just say it, one of the more important disciples of all the 12. Peter's the one that does most of the speaking. He's the one that gets himself in trouble. Peter's a big deal. And so before Jesus' arrest, it's understandable that his ego is a bit inflated, that he feels willing to declare he will never deny Jesus or leave his side. But then the fear of seeing Jesus arrested, knowing what's coming and all the bad things that are going to happen, it's understandable also that Peter would deny Jesus. And yet, afterwards, when that rooster crows, Peter weeps because he understands what he's done. And so from that, I imagine that I understand why Peter decides to go fishing. When you have something so drastically hurtful happen in your life, so often you go back to the other things that you love. Peter grew up fishing. He was a professional fisherman. And I imagine that having nowhere else to go, having this journey with Jesus seemingly finished, he goes back to what he knew before. He goes back to the way in which he lived his life and made his money and operated in the world. But I also think there was a bit of familiarity and a bit of that hobby sense. When things go wrong, we go back to what we know and what we love. And so I imagine these disciples sitting around the beach, contemplating all of these things in their hearts. And Peter finally throws his hands up and says, I can't take it anymore. I got to go fishing. I've been there too, by the way. Got to just go. And then we get this miraculous catch of fish. I don't think that those details are necessarily important to focus on, but they go out just as these stories have been told in other gospels, and they're unable to catch anything, and then there's a mysterious figure on the shore. Why they don't recognize Jesus, I don't know. It's 100 yards off. It's a little far. But I imagine they might have been able to recognize. It doesn't matter. The person calls out and instructs them, the audacity, right, to tell professional people how to do their job. But Jesus stands on the shore and he tells them how to catch these fish, and they do. And finally someone recognizes Jesus, and Peter jumps in, puts on his clothes because he just had his underpants on. And he swims over to Jesus, and then they share breakfast. Jesus breaks bread and shares fish, just like he did feeding the 5,000. Here now, Jesus feeds them. In the midst of their pain and suffering, in the midst of their doubt, following Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus feeds them. Yes, it's physical food, but he's also feeding their soul, reminding them that all of these things that they witnessed and saw when he was alive continue on. Jesus continues to feed us, no matter where we are. They sit down and they have breakfast, and then Jesus gets down to the main agenda of the entire thing. They're all finished. They've all had their discussions and catching up with one another and filling in Jesus on what they've been doing for the past couple of weeks. And Jesus pulls Peter aside and says, "Hey man, do you love me?" "Yeah, yeah, I love you. Feed my lambs." And again, and again, three times. And it's almost a beautiful parallel. It is a beautiful parallel. Just as Peter sat and denied Jesus three times without realizing what he had done, here now Jesus asks him three times if he loves him. And he commissions him, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." And it's not until after the third time, just like when he denied Jesus, that Peter's able to finally catch on to what's happening. It almost passes him by in a blink. "Why are you asking me three times whether or not I love you?" Jesus doesn't necessarily give him an answer. He just tells him, "Feed my sheep." And so that really got me to thinking. Really got me to thinking. What is it that holds us back from loving Christ? Peter proclaims that he loves Jesus. And yet after denying him, he finds himself out on a boat fishing. Peter says that he's willing to do these things, and yet he's out on a boat fishing. Sometimes we need that forgiveness. We can comprehend in our head what it is that we are to do. We can understand in our minds that we are forgiven, that the things that we've done in the past don't hold us back from doing the work of God in the future. But it's also important to recognize that we are forgiven, to know in our hearts and in our souls that we are forgiven. And so for this story, that's what it reminds me of. Peter would go on to do great things. Would that have happened without this encounter with Christ? I don't know. Would the guilt of denying Jesus have consumed him and prevented him from doing the work that he needed to do? I don't know. Perhaps. But in this encounter with Jesus, he is freed of those things. He's able to confess his love for Christ and to receive that commissioning as many times as he denied Jesus. But the other important detail is that Jesus gives him something to do. It's not enough to say and proclaim that Peter loves Jesus. He's instructed to go out and do something. Feed his lambs. Offer them sustenance. Offer them a way to grow and learn. He says, "Tend my sheep. Take care of them." The motif of the Good Shepherd is so huge in the book of John. Looking out for other believers is of vital importance to the whole community in which John writes. Make sure that you're feeding, sustaining, and make sure you're protecting and tending all of my followers. Three times. Do you love me? Then do something about it. And the final detail I want to lift up is that this conversation is between Peter and Jesus. There were a whole group of people that were there that heard Peter deny Jesus, and yet it's none of their business. It doesn't matter whether or not they forgive Peter. It doesn't matter whether or not they're able to follow Peter. Jesus has forgiven him. Jesus has commissioned him. It's up to no one but yourself and Christ to determine your relationship. It doesn't matter if anybody else understands or gets it. It doesn't matter if anybody else is able to understand or comprehend your forgiveness. If you and Christ are good, you and Christ are good. The other side of that coin is we don't get to decide if someone else has figured their life out. We don't get to look at someone else and judge their relationship with Christ. If they're good with Christ, they're good with Christ. I don't know when the next time I'm going to go fishing is, but If anybody wants an invitation, just let me know. I'll tell you I'm going fishing and you can say whether or not you join me. But let us love God. Let us love Christ. And let us do something about it. Amen.